is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, it's Bran. Boy, it feels good to say that I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
I am Dan, and I despise Hallmark Christmas movies.
And I am Chris, and I've been known to act in a few Christmas Hallmark movies.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Season three
locked and loaded,
is
baby.
Happening right now. People might be thinking to themselves, these boys sound fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Are they as fresh as they sound? And the answer is
no. Are we overcompensating for our just complete and utter lack of sleep?
Yes.
But we're going to make it.
If you are watching live on Friendly, it's because we are currently towards the end of our movie marathon.
In the 17th
hour. What's the exact hour? What does it say right now?
16 hours and 10 minutes. We're in the 17th hour of our movie marathon. We just watched the first movie. We're about to review it. And we have the star of Take the Day Off, another podcast on Bramble Jam.
That's right.
Network, Christopher Palaha.
That paycheck's in the mail.
Today. Chris, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, guys, it's good to be here. I mean, honestly, it's a little depressing because the original plan was that I was actually going to be there.
That's right.
With you guys grinding it out for 24 hours. So this feels like a little bit of a cheat, but I'm still happy to be a part of the show.
Man, that would have been a fun
time. That would have been
a blast. Next year, Chris, we're booking you next year. It's happening.
It's going to be a good time. Good time had by all.
Just know everybody, that when you're watching the next Mystery 101 movie, the sacrifices that was made, not just Chris, but by us.
That was not a miss here on your part. Chris was going to be here for the marathon this year. That's true. That's a true story. We didn't release it because it didn't actually happen, but that was going to happen.
Yes.
Man.
That was in the plan. And then, of course, COVID happened and there's quarantines. So instead of just being able to go from the UK to you guys to Vancouver to film, I am stuck in, which I'm looking at your festive background. Like, you guys look like you're in the North Pole.
That's right.
I look like I'm in an icebox.
That's right.
Like, I'm in Santa's freezer.
Are you getting tested every day down there, Chris?
No, it's totally different. Okay. So they're like, I cross the border and they're like, do you have COVID? I'm like, no. They're like, all right, don't leave your house for 14 days.
Love that.
Sounds good, Chris.
Legit.
Same time. For sure.
Tell us about your shirt. Hallmark movie hero.
Look at that.
There it is.
You are a Hallmark movie hero.
That's exactly right. If Hallmark ever made a superhero movie, which I think is coming in like 2029, Chris would be the lead of that
movie.
Yes,
he would, 100%.
There's no way around it. He would.
Sadly, I'd also be like 52.
52? No. Get out of here.
No way. You'd still be a solid 20 years younger than Panda. So.
I got him.
Guys, let's get to the nitty gritty real quick before we dive into Jingle Bell Bride. A couple of really exciting things in store for season three, including, have you guys heard about Universal Yums?
Oh my gosh. The best snacks.
Panda, I'm going to sell you really quickly on Universal Yums. It's a subscription box where each month you get a box of goodies from a different country. So we just opened up a box of goodies
from Russia.
8 snacks from Russia. And it was
delicious.
Such a fun experience. So it's a really fun gift idea, my friend. So as you're thinking about how to gift and what to do this holiday season, look no further than Universal Yums.
UniversalYums.com/deck. You're going to get a little bit of a discount there.
And we're excited.
They're going to be with us all season long. Sending us boxes, getting to eat the snacks from all over the world.
It's the official snack of the Deck the Hallmark.
Come on. And also, since you're just all in buying snacks and stuff, you may as well join Bramble Jam Plus. We have 15 people joined today.
Wow.
Deck the Hallmark Plus. You get the Facebook group. You get all kinds of fun stuff.
That's amazing.
This is the place to be. This is where the cool kids hang out, and this is the big season for it.
It's the big season.
40 movies. The push is here. It's real. 40 movies over the next 10 weeks. Let's do this.
I'm excited, boys.
I'm so excited, and it's time to dive into the first of the 40.
Yes.
We are talking about Jingle Bell Bride.
Mm-hmm.
It originally aired on October 24th, 2020. And it went a little something like this. Jessica is a hotshot wedding planner for the stars. She's planning a wedding for this big time recording artist, Renee. You know Renee, who wants this special flower for her bouquet, the Jingle Bell flower. But it is very difficult to find, and apparently the only people who have it right now is in Alaska. So her boss says, hey, if you want to get promoted, you're going to go ahead and get those flowers. So we then meet Matt. Matt's his family is in the flower industry, and they've got some of those sweet, sweet Jingle Bell flowers, but it's going to cost them if they want them. Jessica agrees to fund the entire festival for this town in exchange for some of those sweet, sweet flowers. So she flies on in, and Matt picks her up from the airport, drives her into this town with 112 people in it, and it is just total culture shock for her. But she needs to get way more Jingle Bell flowers than Matt is willing to give her. But he finally gives it in exchange for a cookie. But as he's driving her back to her flight to head back to New York with the flowers in tow, he stops at a moose crossing and the car gets stuck in the snow. They totally get it out, but she missed a flight. So she's going to have to stay in Alaska for at least another night. But luckily, the Jingle Bell Flower Festival is kicking off today. So Matt gets a letter from some university, but just shrugs it off. We don't know anything about that. Bad news, she comes back the next day, and now the flight needs maintenance, the airplane, and so it's going to be another 3 days minimum. So she embraces Alaska and gets some real winter garb and some boots. It's cute. They start the festival. They crown a Jingle Bell princess. You know the kind. Good news, the adult Jessica wins. So Jessica just dives head on into this festival. Such that she gets ready for this big Christmas dance. She helps decorate after a pipe burst. She's doing a snowman competition. She's taking pictures as the princess. It's a whole thing. So Jessica and Matt, they start to open up to one another. She talks, oh yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with my job. And he lays it on thick with, yeah, I used to live in New York, got married, didn't work out. Now I'm back in Alaska. It's a one-to-one sames with information shared. Then they go and they sit on the truck bed and they watch the Aurora Borealis, and it's delightful. Everything is going great with her and Matt, but not so great with her and work. She keeps missing calls from Renee and can't leave because of the plane. It's a whole thing. What are we going to do? It's the night of the big Christmas dance, which is the big ending night of the festival. She's slow dancing with Matt. It's a magical moment. We all feel it. And she gets a phone call from work. So she goes to take it, and they are pulling her off this project. You're not here. You're out of here. We got to do this without you. So she throws a, I would say, tantrum of sorts, and Matt's like, okay, let's weigh our options here. And he decides to contact the mayor, who is able to just do everything, gets a plane ready to fly, does everything. And so she is able to head back to New York with the flowers with her. And she's like, hey, I'm here now. And her boss is like, you get that promotion. So she gets the flowers. The wedding is time. Everybody's happy. They got the flowers. I don't know if you've heard. They got the flowers.
Did they tell mom?
Right after the wedding, guess who is out there waiting for her? It's Matt, and he's moving back to the city, and they kiss, and we cheer, and that, my friends, was Jingle Bell Bride.
That's exactly right.
You made me laugh like halfway through because you're just sitting there so calmly and patiently and just looking at your friend. It's like, it was so amazing.
We've been here a few times.
I've been here, but I'm in awe of you sometimes.
Yeah.
You summarize so well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're a sight to behold.
It would be an understatement for me to say that I'm excited to dive into this movie. Unfortunately, we're going to take a quick break. What?
Setting himself up to sell a lot of goods here.
Okay. You're going to want to hear this. I do want to make that clear.
We have more important things.
You're going to want to hear this. You guys get the drill. We'll be right back.
So the thing about the time we live in is everyone's working on how to better their home right now. They're getting all these projects. They're fixing the fence that's broken. They're adding home improvements. And the thing you've probably neglected is your blinds on your windows. Some companies are going to charge you thousands of dollars to install custom window coverings that look all fancy, but not blinds chalet. That's right. It sounds fancy, but you're going to like the price even better. They offer such a wide variety of window coverings, so many of which are easy to install yourself. They also can help you in that process, and you immediately save thousands if you use them as
thousands?
Thousands of dollars.
Wow.
If you use them as a company. They offer free samples and free shipping on every single
boy.
If you've been ignoring working on your blinds, putting new blinds or new coverings over your windows, the time to do that is right now, because this deal is going to be bonkers. It's a game changer. They are going to give you 55% off of your first order. If you need new coverings for your windows, right now is the time. It's not a joke.
55%?
50, not 15.5.
They're giving them away.
55% off your first order.
Did you double check that?
That is blindschalet.com. 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 Here's the thing you need. Hallmark 55. Hallmark number five. Wasn't number five. Hallmark 55. You're going to get 55% off your first order from blindchalet.com. You will thank me immediately, not even later. You're going to thank me right now for saving you over half price on getting all your windows covered and covered fancy like. You got to do it. Blindchalet.com, Hallmark 55. We're out.
Steven, the CFO.
What was that, Chris?
I said, Steven, the CFO of Blind Chalet, is going to call you up and be like, Dad, I said 15.
Hey, Steve Chalet here. I am incensed. I cannot. My margins are shot.
I'm paying people.
I fired six people this morning because of your dumb ad.
That was dumb ad.
Yeah, dumb ad for those of you at home.
Boy. Hey, I was thinking the other day.
What if cartoons got saved?
And what if we had four segments? Yeah. The first being the hot take. It is where we share exactly how we feel about this movie. And it is somewhere in the temperature of what I am right now, because it is so freaking hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. Panda, you always kick us off because you do such a good job of concisely and beautifully articulating your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So take it away, pal. What did you think of this movie?
Oh, let me tell you. I went in low expectations, was not excited about this movie. But here's the deal. This movie exceeded expectation for me. Like the movie, good start to the Christmas season, boys. I'm a fan.
Mm. Wow. Panda, thank you. Palaha, second P. Tripped me up. Is this the earliest that you have watched a Christmas movie?
100%.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to know what you thought of the movie and if the earliness played into kind of that opinion at all.
It's funny. My kids were like, man, Hallmark's skipping right over Halloween.
Yep.
They sure are.
They sure are.
Like, they're not even waiting. They're just like, no, we're not going to do it. We're going for it. Here's what I'm proud of. I was involved in a little, you guys might remember this. Dan hated it. I was involved in a little Christmas movie last year called Double Holiday.
Yes.
We watched it earlier today.
Yeah. Well, 8 days before that thing premiered, Hallmark just got slammed with the issues of diversity and all sorts of crazy stuff. So I would say that their first movie out of the gate was a really sweet answer. They were like, you know what? Here's a movie for you guys. It was a great movie. It had a great, diverse cast. I'm a big fan. I like it. And I thought it was a classy way for them to enter the ring this year.
Yeah.
Wow. I think so.
Yeah. There you
go. This is what I'll say. About 20 minutes, 30 minutes into this movie, I could not have been more in. And I remained in through the duration of this movie. I don't know who this Ronnie Rowe fella is, but Ronnie Rowe welcome. I love you. You are welcomed wow. here, my friend.
Wow.
I can't wait to talk to Ronnie.
Yeah,
Ronnie's coming on the pod. I loved Ronnie. Great. I love them together.
Yep.
When they really started, you know, digging each other, boy, all bets are off.
Chemistry.
This is what I'll say. Yeah, I love their chemistry. This is what I'll say. 2018, we started this whole thing. Christmas at Pemberley Manor right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Christmas throwing up on me. Last year, well, we don't talk about the first one.
Yeah.
The Mistletoe. The
first Hallmark channel was Wagner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that movie, Christmas threw up on me. I would say maybe Christmas didn't throw up on me as much as Winter did, and then a lot of White Lights, which is fine, but there wasn't as much Christmas as I'm used to from this first debut, but that is just a tiny little thing in this grand scheme of this movie.
It's wild because they want to punch you with Christmas so hard on the premiere every year. I was going to go over that same thing. Christmas at Pemberley Manor 2 years ago, Michael Rady, Jessica Lowndes, big names, big idea, fake Santa, a lot of Christmas. Last year, Christmas Wishes, Mistletoe Kisses, Jill Wagner is the star, you know, Victor Webster, a lot of big names in that one. This year, they were doing exactly what Chris said. It's an interracial couple as the lead, the first time they've had that. You know, 2020 is a new year, a new dawn for Hallmark Channel, which is great. I just wish the movie itself was better. I just didn't think the movie was very good. I thought the leads were okay. They didn't know how to begin or end the movie. The beginning felt like it took forever. And then they kiss, and instead of fading to black, there's these weird comments about, like, I like your jacket, and should we go here? How's your family? And then we fade to black, and it seemed like it was a little bit more piecemealed together. There are a lot of parts in this movie that don't make sense. I'm wondering where in the deep South is this particular city in Alaska. I'm very curious about that because we have a lot of Southern traits, Southern accents, in the middle of like negative 30 degrees somehow. I don't know how. I have a lot of questions about the town itself. It was kind of just standard bad for me.
Okay, standard. You know what? A standard bad for you is
that I know Julie Gonzalez is a regular and Ronnie Rowe is not. Ronnie Rowe has such a soothing voice.
Oh, boy.
Like,
my gosh.
Like butter. He, you know, we always talk about Chad Michael Murray having this voice that's designed to be on like NPR, like, you know, just like full of this like deep, low, like, you know, ASMR. Ronnie Rowe takes that to another level.
He has a great ASMR voice.
Welcome to Alaska.
Yeah.
Let the white, pillowy, soft snow soothe yourself to sleep. Like, that's who he is. Like, he just has that smooth voice. And I would be more than happy to watch him in another movie.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for me.
You need to do that again, but say it closer to the microphone. Just get your voice.
Oh, yeah. You see all that white snow out there? Let that be the pillow that rests your sweet soul to sleep. I'm Ronnie Rowe.
I don't hate it.
Okay. Yeah, no,
I'll tell you about I don't hate that at all.
No.
You're welcome, man.
Directed by Chris Pilar.
Ronnie, if that doesn't make you want to email us, I mean, that was a spot on.
I need
impression.
All the help I can get. I don't have the smolder that Pilar has.
Hey, Ronnie, you got to be on the podcast now. That's all I'm saying. As from one actor to another, get your bottom on the show.
That's right. Get your ad over here.
I couldn't. All I could think of was the bad word.
Yeah. Hi. All the feels. Are you ready for them?
Oh, yeah.
Panda, feels from you?
Listen, I gave it a little bit of grief about the blessing bouquet, but the dance and the blessing bouquet is cozy, y'all. And I liked it. Gave me feels. And then I know it's cliche. When she turns around at the very end and Matt standing right there, it works. It just works.
Yeah,
guys.
They never do that in these movies.
You know what? And listen, every single time I feel like I get sucker punched by the turnaround.
I feel like this one, though, was elongated. Dude, we saw him.
Elongated?
Yeah,
what
elongated.
What does that mean?
It means
elongated
like...
Elongated a place?
No, I'm with Brandon on this one.
This one was elongated California.
Let me explain. It's elongated, and he's in the shot, so it's elongated.
Yeah.
He's back there for at least 10 seconds, and he's like a fuzzy boy, and we're like,
Is that Roddy? You know what I appreciate about you, Panda? And this is going to be dead serious. It's not going to be a bit. The first time that you did this bit was our first season preview, Falling for You, Taylor Cole, Tyler Hines. He comes back out to the festival. The crowd parts. He's in the back of the room.
I just got tingles thinking about that.
And it's the pie, whatever contest. And you in the podcast basically said, like, I love the reveal of the whole thing. And you have not lost an ounce of that excitement for the same dadgum thing every time.
It gets me, guys. I love it.
He's not a cynic.
That's right.
Is that Ronnie?
Ronnie.
Wait, what?
Hey, I think we elongated this scene too much. Can we shorten it?
Oh, I don't need it from you. I especially don't need it from you, Chris. I don't need it from you at all.
My feels.
Yeah, fine, go.
My feels. Were the when she was trying to reach for that box, you know, and she's reaching high, and he comes up so smooth behind her, and he reaches up and gets that box. My wife walked by, and she was like, "Ooh!" Yeah, you can. My only wish is that she got out of there too quick. I wish she would have just stayed in that moment with him for a beat longer, and then made her. But maybe they're trying to keep it clean and pure. It was early on in the movie. But that was a good feel.
There's something about the pencil in your hand that makes me feel like you're giving director notes while you're doing this.
Yeah.
The note for me with if the I could just give one quick line, just a beat longer. Let's do it one more time.
Take it from the top.
Yeah, can we do it again? Can we just do it one more time?
Do it one more time, just a beat longer.
To take Chris. We say it all the time. He always needs another take Chris.
Just one more beat longer. One more beat longer. Elongate that, please, my friends. I've got a couple. So we have, over the last two seasons, given much grief about Hallmark and the Aurora Borealis. And I am here to tell you that tonight, Hallmark crushed.
Yep. When you could see those lights on the cheeks of the actress.
Yes. It was a dynamite scene. I love them sitting in the back of the pickup truck like they would where they're from
in the deep south
of Georgia.
Yeah.
And just
his character in Run the Race fits in this movie.
Yeah, he does.
Put like a pea coat on him and he's like, "Oh, y'all ready? Y'all ready for them Aurora Borealises? Them's good."
It was great. I love them watching it in the back of the truck. And also
I have a question though. I don't mean to interrupt you, but why was she so adverse to being picked up by a truck in the beginning of the movie?
It doesn't make a bit of sense, Chris. That's the answer.
I mean, she was like, a truck. Yeah. I was like, what the hell? What's she got against trucks?
Well, I will
say, I've never been to South Alaska before.
I'll say this. We went, when we were in LA, we hung out, and afterwards we were going to go hang out some more. And you said, "Hey, you want to ride with me?" And I was like, "Sure." And then I saw it was your truck, and I was like,
No, a truck?
No,
not for us.
I don't think so.
The action
that
she did.
Yes, a truck. Hard pass. I'm gonna go back to the minivan we got.
That's right. It was a slick one. Wasn't the minivan. What was
no,
that?
No, no. Was that not the minivan? Too many rentals. Too little time.
A lot of rentals. Yes.
And I will say, last but not least, this was the scene of all scenes in this movie. They both fall back at the same time to do a little snow angel, and it was.
So the snow angel, the snow angel scene is my feels as well. Yeah. But what I like about it is and I made fun of it at the time, but I love it. The sheer childlike wonder of Ronnie Rowe searching for the perfect spot to do the snow angel. I thought that was a really cool bit in the movie. Like, you can't just do a snow angel anyway, which is, yes, you can. Like, he's wanting, like, it's like he's never seen snow before, even though he lives in Alaska where they get 2 feet of snow at a time. He wants to find that perfect spot, and then they kind of symmetrically fall backwards. That was a really cool scene. No doubt about it. That worked for me 100%.
It was pleasant on the eyeballs as well, watching
It really worked out. Yeah, big fan.
Plop on back there.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, let's do the Weight Watch. We're going to take one more quick break.
55% off.
55% off. We'll be back. We'll do the Weight Watch here on Deck the Hallmark. Yeah, I mean, it's 55%. That's what I...
You can't.
I went and double-checked it myself. It's 55.
Oof.
Spelled out and everything.
No kidding.
It's time for the Wait What. It's the part of the show where we talk about one this movie made us pause and say Wait What? Panda?
Yeah.
Panda.
Thanks, Ron.
Everybody stop. Let's try it one more time. Panda.
It is happening, everybody.
Okay, so Jessica's niece comes running down the stairs in a full jacket and scarf, and you think she's going to go outside, but nope, she pivots and then proceeds to go hang popcorn up on the tree. I just want to know why she is wearing a full scarf and coat inside, maybe turn the heat.
I don't know.
She's clearly not in our studio.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
The moose crossing.
Uh-huh. We have to spend some time on this.
Guys, the moose don't have to cross there. And the stop, okay, you stop briefly. He gets stuck. There's so many angles.
I always assumed moose crossing meant just be aware. Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
You have to full stop.
If it's not red, you don't stop fully unless
it's not like a train crossing. You don't have to look both ways. Yeah. Sure moose
are not scheduled like that. They're more of a temperamental crowd. They're not.
Oh, boy, it's half past moose time.
Hey, Bob.
It's moose o'clock.
Hey, Bob, should we just cross here? Should we go down to the sun? Let's go down to the sun.
They put that sign there. We might as well just scurry on down. I mean, they didn't have to put the sign there. They put the sign there. It would be not polite for us.
I got called jaywalking in 95. 3 weeks in moose jail. You don't want a part of it.
her rival walks literally into what was the singer's name?
Renee.
Rihanna.
Yeah, Renee. Her rival walks right into Renee's home. Renee doesn't know she's coming. Just walks in, apparently past security, just is like,
hey. Hey, what's up? What's up?
What are you doing over there? And then finally, Renee makes a huge deal about the flowers. I mean, the entire movie is based upon the fact that her mother had the same bouquet and kept it for all this time. And then at the very end, she's literally like, hey, by the way, here's the bouquet, and throws it back to the lake. Like, I'm out.
You earned
this. You did the hard work. 5 minutes later, here you go.
What is happening? Like, I just, it's whatever.
I know I should probably like hand this down to my mom since it meant so much to her.
But no. Nope.
But you can have it.
So you can tell your mom wasn't paid to speak, and so she turns. Renee turns to her mom and is like, "Look, mom!" And the poor actress is like,
"Yeah." She told her mom they got the flowers no less than five
it's
times.
It's like she was tempting her to speak.
They got them,
and the woman's like, "I can't. The union's got me bound."
Somebody call lunch.
Chris, what you got for the Wait What's?
Okay, so for the Wait What's, I had the moose crossing. That was my first Wait What. I was like, come on, man. Is that really where we're going? That's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to put a big obstacle in both of these people's way. So that, I blame on the writers. I do have a Wait What regarding the, you guys said that it wasn't a vomitus of Christmas cheer and decorations. I, however, couldn't see a frame in that film that didn't have a garland, and in particular her bed.
Yeah.
On top of her bed and on the foot of her bed, to which my wife said, well, that would be terrible to try to make that bed, and all the garland's going to get in on your pillows.
That's like, fair. That's fair.
I saw the bed and was just, who's 6'5", and my feet hit every foot post on every bed. I was just like, no.
You're just getting the pine tingle in the toes the whole time.
There's lights. We have an electrical fire situation here. There's so many things that could go wrong.
Hallmark, step it up.
But my biggest Wait What was, and I understand from a story point of view, they have to cut the flowers and then she has to miss her flight. I get why they cut them in the first 10 minutes of the film. But she is there for a week. And you're telling me that these flowers are going to survive for a week?
So, Chris, there's an answer for that. And a lot of people missed it. It's not just you. A lot of people in the chat missed it. What Ronnie Rose's character says after she realizes she's going to be around today is the ones they've already cut, they're using for the festival. And then she's going to cut new ones to take back with her. They say it, they throw it away in one very quick line in the movie. It's very quick. Yeah,
okay,
no.
Okay, well, I'm glad you clarified that, because yeah. That takes away my biggest. Bothered me the whole film.
Yeah, it wasn't just you. Somebody in here said it. I don't remember who it was.
It was me.
And then we had several people on the chat be like, those flowers are dead. And it was one line. It was real quick.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Did you guys notice the last thing, that she got a flake from her sister? And it was supposed to be kind of sweet, but basically she is a flake. And so that was like, did that read?
No.
No.
There's some deep symbolism there, though. I believe it.
Look at you. You just pick it up on stuff. I haven't. More Christmas, please. Someone at the beginning of this.
Marlin and lights, tip to toe in that bedroom. Not enough Christmas for Brian.
Now let's up that, please. For the first movie of the year? Come on now. At the beginning of this movie, someone says, a mix-up is worse than a delay.
Oh my gosh!
And
yeah, I can't even get started with that.
I don't know if that is correct. Usually,
no. There are so many times where that is not the case. If, for instance, like a shipment that you are in dire straits is delayed 2 days, that's not good. If I accidentally took my wife's keys to work, that's not a big deal.
Yeah,
like the mix-up.
I can see that sometimes, yes, but it varies a lot.
No.
Yes. Yeah, mostly and no.
I'd rather have an honest mistake mix-up than a known delay any day of the week.
She makes it clear when she gets back, when she's at the Ronnie's house, Ronnie's mom's house,
aunt's house.
Yeah. That she doesn't have anything. No clothes, no nothing. What did she have in baggage claim that she needed?
She didn't have anything in baggage claim. She had stuff in the back of the plane. She had a bag that she brought with her.
She asked for baggage claim.
She asked for baggage claim, and they pointed back to the tiny plane she flew on.
But why did she ask for baggage claim?
She's an idiot, first of all, because it's a tiny Cessna. There's no way there was going to be baggage claim. It's literally like getting out of a Toyota Tercel and being like, where's baggage claim? It's the trunk, you dummy. But she had a bag with her because she went back for it.
I don't know. I don't know.
You know,
she put boots in it at the end of the movie.
She had luggage to take stuff back with her, but she was staying for an hour.
I don't.
Didn't make any sense at all.
That star is in incredible shape for being six generations old.
That's
amazing.
Roughly 150 years old.
Phenomenal.
That's 1870.
I've never touched something that old.
1870 is what we're
looking at. You know what's funny that you mentioned that, Brandon? Is while I was watching the movie, I thought to myself, in real time, I wonder what it would look like to have a star for a tree that's six generations old. And I said, it'd have to be sturdy, because over time it would get flattened. You know, someone would fall on it. Like, how does something that small and insignificant survive?
Yeah.
Imagine being the bozo who blows it one year and trips.
Not just survive, but looks
drop
like
something on it.
Looks like they purchased it at Ross.
And what kid do you give it to? Like, who? It's only one. Who are you going to give it to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's tough.
It's tough. It's tough. That kid has been practicing that song every day
for an hour.
My friend, just call it quits. It's not gonna work out.
I don't see. I don't have my contact lenses in, but I don't see Billy Joel over there. I don't. Elton John is not coming through that door, kids. I'm sorry.
Maybe it's only in right hand. You only learn the right hand.
Yeah.
And the key is. Elton,
you guys don't know this. Elton John, a year into playing, an hour a day, he's still just like, down, down, da, 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 da.
And the key is you put a post-it note on the one key to not hit.
It's.
You know what? Here's the deal. I put this sticker here. I know there's a lot of keys on this keyboard. Don't use that one ever.
I got this sweet, sweet song. I go, Rocket Man. Rocket Man. I keep hitting it. Rocket Man. Keep missing it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's fine.
Okay, I've got so many, but can we talk about a town with 112 people, no hotels, but an airport? This town has 112 people, but has an airport.
With more houses than people.
Yeah. Oh, it's
from those overheads.
It's the wealthiest.
Yeah. Man, that's like at least 500 houses down there.
It's the wealthiest Alaskan town south of the Mason-Dixon with 500 houses and 100 people in it that I've ever seen. Look, we are in South Carolina. There are so many towns with 100 people in it that most of them don't even have like play airports,
right?
Like toys. Like, I'm just telling you right now, you don't, that is not how airports work. And this airport is the least efficient airport in the world. To get anywhere, you have to go through the owner's office in the airport. You have to walk in the door through this guy's office with his personal belongings, probably invoices and private information, to get to the vending machine, to get to the hangar, to get to anything.
Blueprints for how to trap this poor girl in town.
Blueprints for how to keep her in town.
I didn't see any TSA. There was no security.
No, nothing. It, just a mess.
That's Alaska.
Why is Ronnie Rowe upset that she would like to have the snacks she purchased from the vending machine? she orders something. It gets stuck.
Right.
He gets the cookies out for her and then believes that it is now his by some sort of squatter's rights that I'm not familiar with. And he is so shocked when she's like, no, I'd like the thing I purchased. I'd like to have it, please.
Did he not put a quarter in to get that thing out?
Oh, I thought he
did.
Oh, he put a quarter in?
Yeah, he did.
Then that one's done.
He
forget
it.
Early in the movie, the Karen that tries to take over her job says that she whipped up some candy canes.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I call Martha Stewart up. I don't even know. Where would I start? Where would you start to make candy canes from scratch? Who is, you didn't go to Target like every other normal human being.
She said,
I've got peppermint, fresh peppermint from the garden. I've got molasses. I've got my candy cane maker.
Yeah.
You know you're extra tomorrow if Martha's rolling her eyes at you.
Martha's like,
Martha Stewart's over there like, I buy them like everyone else.
I mean, that's the ultimate.
Sugar cane myself.
That's right. It's all organic. Don't you worry. I put some stevia. Here's the stevia side. Here's the sugar side. I don't understand that. He, on the original trip to the airport where they get stuck, he says the roads are bad because the plows just came through.
Yeah, no, that confused me as well.
Like living in a, like I live in St. Louis, Missouri. There was a snow route and the plows would plow those roads. Those are the only roads you could travel on after a hard snow. Yes.
Yeah, they made it better.
They don't make them worse.
That's what I was like. They make them worse.
Man, but these roads suck. Right, they just cleared them. I wish we were on that fresh
it's
ice.
It's the anti-plow. It actually brings snow in.
It creates a slick.
Yeah. He's got chains on his tires expecting like the tundra. And it's just like
he's pouring water, making it pure ice out there.
Sailing out there. Also, there's 100 people that live in this town. I'm going to assume some of them are infants and children that don't know any better. It would stand to reason that everyone has won the Jingle Bell Princess at least once. They draw a name out every year. There are people that have won the Jingle Bell Princess multiple times. Men, women, everyone has won the Jingle Bell Princess.
I like to imagine they found out Jessica was in town.
And they're like,
they broke that plane.
Oh, yeah.
We can have a new princess.
Get her name in the door.
We can have a new princess break that plane now.
The day before she shows in town, they have this closed door meeting with poor Gerald. Gerald, I got bad news. You're going to have to take one for the team, buddy.
I know it's your year.
Third time's the charm. You're gonna have to be Jingle Bell Princess again. I'm sorry, buddy. There's nothing we can do.
The broken plane trip again.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do. Can we talk about the wood chopping children interpretive movement scene that we get in this movie? Weirdly enough, there are four children on stage in fake beards and mustaches, fake chopping wood, and we don't know why.
Wait, when was this?
Exactly.
This was right before she gets crowned princess.
You need to look. Bonkers. Yeah. And I don't know what it is. I just don't understand.
It was a football
and
hero.
Then for
that's
a
level right there.
For a movie, I've got more, but I'll stop there. For a movie, this is the last one. For a movie that she cannot find cell signal anywhere, she has a video call on an iPad with her sister that is coming in clear as a bell.
Right.
What's she using there? She's in some crank rotary system back there. Yeah, the poor kid's like doing like what? Like if you, that's right, shoveling coal in there. But cell signals,
No texting here, but 4K Dolby Vision video calls. Yes, right. Please.
Yeah, for sure. No questions asked.
I was confused by the two different banjo players. They had one guy who in the background he was jamming. The first banjo player is jamming.
Yeah.
He's got his whole like rhythm and everything, and I was buying it. And then at the dance, it was a totally different guy.
Yeah.
Dueling banjos.
In a small town.
Man,
because banjo's hard to play.
Yeah, you got two of them.
Like, it's not like you can just you say, "Hey, who plays a banjo?" And five dudes raise their hand like this for guitar. It's
That's a very specific.
There's a lot of tension in that town over there.
Tom over there has the claw technique, but I'm more pick'em. So I'm better for it.
Steve Martin shows up. Yeah. He's like, somebody say banjo.
I wish Steve Martin was here.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for What the Hallmark. It's the part of the show where we talk about the things that we still have questions about, wondering throughout this movie that would give some clarity to the questions that we still have. Panda?
Yeah, okay. So, Matt... He is a professor.
No, he was a professor,
but he was also working on his dissertation.
And then he just kind of very nonchalantly drops to his aunt that he finished it.
I want to know what's going on. What's happening with your schooling, buddy? Yeah, and where are you?
Weird.
Where
it's
were
weird
you?
One.
Are
it's
you,
a weird one.
And was he so good? Why were they sending him letters to come back? I just want to know more about that situation. What did he teach? Give me some more background there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Palaha?
It was vague. I guess my questions would be, I mean, the flowers, in which Dan answered for me, frankly.
And the banjo boys.
Yeah, the banjo ones are good. The banjo ones are good, what the hallmark.
Yeah. So, you know, although, yeah, no, that's where I'm at.
That's fair.
That's more than fair.
Who are they? What are they doing?
Banjo boys.
Why two?
I have two. One is who hurt the coworker because she's a broken soul.
She's a monster.
This is what I'll say about this coworker. We talk a lot about how Hallmark doesn't really have villains. They just have bad people that do good people that do some bad things every once in a while.
No, she's a bad person.
She is a bad person, this coworker. She's a villain. She's one of the worst villains I've ever seen in Hallmark. It blew me away. Who hurt you? What's your deal? Just amazing. And lastly, the bouquet of blessing. I don't know what the bouquet of blessing is. What's the story there? Who are you blessing? I don't know.
Now they did talk about it, but I still didn't understand.
What was that?
They said they put the bouquet in a case. And I was like, wait, each person's bouquet blessing gets put in a case? Like what? And I thought about this vast mausoleum of bouquet blessings. I couldn't understand it.
Next to all of Maroney's gold plates over there.
I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Is it an old, yeah. Yeah, that Rebecca girl, when she did what she did, where she undermined, man, it was shady. I did a double take. I was like, what? Yeah.
She's like one of the only people I can think of in my years of Hallmark that doesn't have any redeeming qualities to her.
Pure evil.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a monster.
Wow. See, Hallmark is growing.
Yeah.
So is it my turn?
Yeah, it is your turn.
How did the airport open again? Because here are the things that we know. We know the guy that runs the airport. We know him.
Yep.
One guy runs it, two pilots, but one guy runs it, right?
Yep.
We also know that he has an infatuation with the mayor. And he makes the moves on the mayor. They get together at the bouquet blessing ball benefit, whatever. And then the next thing you know, they say that she made a few calls.
Did she get another plane? Did someone else fly in? No, because he's flying.
He owns the airport and he's with her. Who did she call to open up the airport? He runs the airport.
Why couldn't they have done that like 4 days ago?
And why couldn't they have done that?
Can you imagine, just judging by the way she responded to that phone call, there's no way she's not like, you did what? You waited until now?
I cannot put the pieces together. I need a writer to explain it. Who did she need to call? Everyone needed to make that happen was all together. Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is she calling air traffic control to make sure they've got room in the air pattern for another
flight? The only thing I can think of is that he finished the plane fixings that day, but there was no...
But why did she have to make calls?
Because the airport, they fly into Anchorage. They go from Anchorage to New York.
The mayor of Podunkville needed to call... The mayor of Anchorage?
To get clearance to land there. Because
this town needs to make a flight, the mayor calls it in.
I would have loved it if the guy said, I've had a plane the whole time.
That's right.
Heck, if you just said something.
The mayor finally asked me, I'll give you a lift.
I thought you wanted the blue plane. Yeah, I got old Betsy back here. She's raring to go.
We needed a princess. And you fit the mold.
Gerald said if he did it a third time, it was going to get ugly.
Princess Gerald
doesn't have the same ring to it.
Guys, one done, 39 to go. Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. Chris, thank you. No Hallmark Christmas movie for you this year. I am still dumbfounded, I think is the best word. I don't want to get into it right now because I'm trying to be positive. But... Boy, it's tough.
It's the first for us. The first movie we watched before the 18 season, Palaha, Christmas movie.
We thought about just calling it
18 Christmas movie, 19. What's going on, man?
Well, you know what? There's a tradition, and every year, the things that make traditions sweeter is that one off where you miss it, and you're like, man, I really miss that thing that we always do, right? And I had a cool, you know what? The guy that's on the screen behind you, Michael Rady, he is. In the movie that I was going to do, which is this really sweet story about a violinist who crushes her hand in a car, and he's a PT. It was great. I just, unfortunately for the Christmas Hallmark movie world, I was in the UK filming another movie, and I couldn't swing both.
Yeah.
So I missed my window. And then I called Randy Pope and everybody at Hallmark and said, hey, guys, there's a little bit of time in October. Maybe I can do one. And the window had closed. So, you know, you win some and you lose some.
You win some,
but
you
I will
lose
say
some.
This. If this Wonder Woman movie ever comes out.
Tell me, you're in Wonder Woman.
Yeah. If this thing ever comes out, which is becoming more and more dubious as we go, there is a scene which will feel like the ultimate Hallmark Christmas movie.
Wow.
For you all. And so that will be my Christmas movie gift.
Wow.
But can't that wait. Means it's going to come out by Christmas.
I can't
Chris,
wait till
I don't know.
I can't wait till Christmas 2024 when we finally get to see it. It's going to be so good. Yeah, it's so good.
Wonder Woman 1984 is going to come out in 2084.
Yeah. And I do got to tell you, Chris, if there was one, if there was someone to fill your shoes in that movie, I feel like
Rady's a good choice.
Rady's a good trade.
Yeah, Rady's awesome. He's a good guy.
I love Rady. Mm. He's coming on in a few weeks. We're excited.
Yes, he is.
Look at there he is. He's right behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. I was talking about Pimberley Manor, and this is it. Man, this movie is fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Let's end with a double decker of the week, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah. I got a couple in mind.
I don't know if you recall from the last time you were on in July, Palaha, but Panda does a deep dive. Into the lives of our friends, the Double Deckers, who have signed up for Bramble Jam Plus.
That's right.
He does just this amazing job. I don't even know how you do it, really. Google doesn't work that way for me. And so I'm interested in who we have today and what the story is.
Yeah, we have Sarah Stubbs and Julie Kruger. Sarah Stubbs and Julie Kruger. Mm.
Sarah and Julie doing a world of good in this world, and that's what I say.
A world of good. It's off to a great start. We're off season three kickoff, baby.
Yeah,
doing a lot of good in this world.
Listen, guys, they've done a great thing. They just sell elements. That's the name of the company, Elements.
And they sell, like, boron? Like, I could go and get a cup of boron?
That's my understanding early on. But I think they're doing a lot of good, and I applaud it. We did heavily invest on it.
What does a cup of boron cost me?
Well, it's pricey right now.
Okay. What about, like, xenon? What can I do for xenon?
Well...
He knows the table. He knows his damn elements.
That's right. Sorry.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm less aware of
ill-equipped
the elements.
To deal with the actual element questions.
I wasn't even sure that boron was a real one, but...
Boron is a
what
real
about
one.
Clefairy?
Pretty, you know, the funny thing about those two is that Kruger got involved because she thought it was the elements of the weather. So she was a meteorologist. So she thought it was rain, snow. But then when her buddy Sarah Stubbs, right?
Are you taking notes?
Yeah, Stubbs was like, no, it's actual elements that were. So
this is how you cool do this. I don't know if you heard. This is how you do this right
can
here.
Can you? I know we elements. Are. We are. Yeah, we've yeah, already yeah. had you do a take the day off. You wake up every morning at 5 a.m. for that
That's
podcast.
Unbelievable.
So much. It's so early, guys.
And you put on the denim. You get the green screen out. It's unreal.
Dang it,
dude! Now that you're back,
birds, I got the microphone for the birds.
It's unbelievable. Now that you're back in, you're in Canada. I don't know what's the background going to be now.
It ain't going to be this. I'll tell you that.
I'm going to need a little something, something.
People will take the day off from life if they have to wake up to this every morning.
Like, oh, no. I don't know how often, Chris, you go back and enjoy that program, but at least once a week, I mess it up. I messed up your poor thing, and it's just ruined.
We recorded some for November, and some guy walks in the background while you're doing one of them.
That was a good one.
Like, yeah, wasn't that amazing?
I love that one.
And you talk to him like you don't even miss a beat. You keep it going, like this guy back here. I'm like, man, this guy's a pro. This guy's a pro. That's unreal.
I catch up with him. I don't watch him every day, but I will deep dive and I will like spend a good hour, 2 hours at night watching it. I love it. I think you guys are doing great.
Well,
with
thanks,
that show.
Man. I appreciate that.
It's
the only thing I'm missing on it is Panda.
That's right,
guys. Aww. Listen,
Panda's tough. We pay a pretty penny to get him to show up just for Deck the Hallmark. He's not cheap. You know why?
It's that boron money.
He invested a lot of it in elements. That's right.
That's right. We've all been there. Give me two glasses of boron and a couple snows, please.
Give me a zinc. Is zinc an element?
Xenon on the rocks, if you could. Shake and not stir.
Chris, we love you. God this was the perfect great, way man. To start off oh, this
man.
Season.
You're the best, man.
With
the original.
The man
the
who
best,
started
the
it
The OG. There he is.
The OG. I'm no Steve Martin, but I'm a shabby second place.
I love it.
Okay. Well, let's take it down a couple notches, Chris. I mean, it's Steve Martin.
Wonder Woman's not out yet, Palaha.
That's right.
Calm it down over
I'll
there.
Believe it when I see it over there. Mm-hmm. Guys, we'll be back tomorrow.
Can you imagine?
I like to imagine there's a Wonder Woman cut out there where you walk out and you're playing the banjo. Oh, hey, gal.
But I'm the second one. I'm not even the one.
You're the backup guy. Yeah. Of course.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll be back on Wednesday, and we'll be back on Thursday, because that's the what thing we're doing right now, because it's Christmas time, season 3. We can't wait. Until tomorrow, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Friendly TV and recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina at the Bramble Jam Podcast Network Studios. It's produced by Brandon Gray. You can find out more information at deckthehallmark.com.